Welcome to another episode of Spotlight on Natural Resources, where we shine some light on what's going on in your environment. I'm your host, Abigail Garfalo.
And I'm your co-host, Amy Leffringhouse.
And today we're doing a little research bite where we are exploring what's going on in the latest research of a particular topic. Today we're here with the team from the Bird Strike Survey from University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And they're here to talk to us about bird strikes. Welcome, everybody. Go ahead and introduce yourselves. We got four guests with us today. This is a Spotlight on Natural Resources first. So
it is.
Thank you so much for having us here. I'll go first. I'm Ren Dolnov. I'm a sophomore in NRES. NRES is Natural Resources and Environmental Science. And I'm also minoring in IB, which is Integrative Biology. Big fan of birds, obviously, running this survey with my friends. I'm planning to do some field research in the future and maybe some avian rehabilitation. I've been involved with this group since the beginning of last semester. We got the project handed down to us by a undergraduate who graduated last year.
My name is Sarah Jacobson. I'm also a sophomore in Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences. I also started this project in August. And yeah, I love birds. I hope to do avian research in the future. Love bird watching. Love everything about them.
Hi, I'm Leilani Fuentes-Garcia. I'm a sophomore studying sustainable design and minoring in architecture. I'm really just passionate about birds and also environmental friendly architecture and design.
Hi, everyone. I'm Benjamin Dandor, and I'm an assistant professor in NRES as well. And I work on migratory birds and global change and have been one of the few faculty members helping to advise the bird strike survey here at UIUC.
Wonderful. I'm so excited. Also, I'm an NRES alum, so I'm excited to be here chatting with a few. It's great to see you all and to hear you all and just be here to chat about something that's very cool, especially given the season that we're in. It's migration season. And so I want to hear a little bit about it. And I'm excited that our audience also gets to hear what's going on at the university physically. I feel like they hear this is University of Illinois Extension podcast. They're like, okay, but like, what is U of I doing? You guys all talk to like other professionals out in the field. And this is really cool to hear what's going on in Urbana-Champaign, actually. So tell us a little bit about your group and what are your objectives? What are you all trying to achieve?
Okay, so basically the UIUC Bird Strike Survey was started in 2019 by a group of graduate students. Their original goal was to figure out which buildings cause window collisions and why. We inherited the project at the start of the 2023 fall semester and have grown our volunteer presence to over 30 people on campus with more interested in participating. Our overarching goal has transitioned a bit to making the windows of UIUC buildings more visible to birds. In order to achieve this, we survey certain buildings on campus twice each day that have large glass facades. We check these AM and PM two routes, and we note which birds have struck, where they've struck, which species, what direction the window is facing, and among some other things. Our hope is that when we present this data to building directors, including the specific location of windows they've struck, and people who have authority to make changes on the buildings, this will lead to mitigation being done to the commonly struck buildings. We're hoping that they could maybe put up decals and maybe even to the extreme change completely like their glass facades to more bird safe glass. We also want to increase awareness of bird strikes in general and why they occur, as many people don't even know that they occur, much less why. We've been making an effort to attend and host more events like going to University Green Quad Day and creating a bird ID workshop that we had a couple weeks ago in an attempt to reach more people.
Wow, that's so cool. So like such a great way to even just like get to know the campus and to see what's going on with the ecology on campus, because it's not just this like this bubble of a landscape. There's all these interactions that are occurring.
I've like learned so much about campus. I know campus like back and forth now, and I'm sure everyone in the survey does as well. Feel like it's a very good opportunity to like check out the campus if you're a new student, and also just learn which buildings are problem buildings and like get introduced to like different issues on campus than you're used to. It's also a really good project because urban areas like UIUC are usually stopover sites for migration, so it's a really important focus site for learning why bird strikes occur, because we have so many buildings on campus.
And that can definitely translate to other urban areas as well. I know that's bird strikes are a huge issue in Cook County, given our migration location as well. So
I am from a rural area, lived out in the country, and we would have birds strike our windows right outside where we would have a bird feeder, and they would strike our windows, our big picture windows. So tell us, since you guys are doing this research, why do birds run into windows? Can't they see them? Like, what are they doing when they're running into our windows?
You know, to us, it's such like a foreign concept. Like, why wouldn't they be able to see the windows? They're right there. They look pretty solid. But there's actually like a couple different reasons, depending on the situation, why they wouldn't be able to see them. So during the daytime, either they'll think it's a reflection of the sky or some vegetation. So they'll try to land on the vegetation, or they'll try to fly through the window, and then it'll be too late by the time they realize that they're hitting a solid object and they strike and fall off. Another reason, especially during migration, is aggressive behavior towards their own reflection. They can misinterpret it as another bird in like a breeding territorial region, and they try to attack it thinking it's another bird of the same species. And then during the nighttime, it's a huge issue as well. Since most birds are migrating during the nighttime into the early morning, birds will hit the windows due to light pollution. Artificial lights are very disorienting and also create a kind of halo effect when seen through a glass window. So when lights are visible through windows and are turned on, birds can get disoriented and confused. They're drawn to the lights in the windows, and before they realize their mistake, it is too late and they strike. Dr. Van Doren can tell us a little bit more about the reasons that birds strike, especially during migration, with how they navigate.
Sure. Yeah, that's a great explanation, Ryan. I think you covered the essentials there. And what's interesting is that the reason that birds are drawn to lights at night is kind of still somewhat of a mystery. We know that they are very attracted to lights, just like moths, insects. We're all familiar with bugs being drawn to lights. And the reason for that is actually still also somewhat unclear, although some recent research has shed some light on that, which is pretty cool. But it's a little bit unclear why exactly birds are drawn so strongly to lights. One reason, it might be related to their navigational systems. These birds are migrating at night, and they've evolved in a world across evolutionary time that does not have light at night, except from above, from the stars, from the moon. And those celestial cues are used by birds to navigate. Birds use the stars to navigate. And they also use the magnetic field of the Earth. And one really fascinating possibility is that they may actually see or at least sense the magnetic field with molecules in their retinas. And so it's possible, because light is involved in that sensing the magnetic field, it's possible that that could be another factor. But it's really not completely understood why birds are attracted so strongly to light. Regardless, they show this behavioral response, this attraction, and that puts them at risk.
I am like blown away. Again, audio medium, so people don't really see our faces, but he was like, the birds can see possibly the magnetic waves. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? We need to take a minute to talk about that. A lot of people don't know, yeah, that like their navigation systems are not visual, or not just visual, right? It's one of the tools. But yeah, birds are migrating at night and they need other tools because there's just things that they can't see. And the magnetic, I just can't, my brain is a little broken right now with that.
Yeah, it's, I'm happy to elaborate a little bit. The sensory mechanisms that birds have are really impressive and numerous. They can navigate by the stars at night, as I mentioned, by the magnetic field. But in the daytime, they can use the sun. They also use local landmarks on the ground. They have great memories for those sorts of navigational cues. But the magnetic field sensory mechanism in particular is really interesting because it's probably the only sensory mechanism in animals that is still not really well understood. No one actually knows yet for sure how animals like birds sense the magnetic field. And so this theory that it is a molecule called cryptochrome in their retinas is the leading theory, but it hasn't been confirmed.
Yeah.
And so if it is how they sense the magnetic field, it would be fascinating because the mechanism by which this theoretically operates is actually, it involves quantum mechanics. It's a whole podcast in and of itself. But it's really interesting.
Very cool. I also love that there are just things about the world we don't know yet, as simple as how birds get places, like how birds know to get places and It seems like such a simple question, but really complex. And sometimes we just don't know the answers yet. And really cool opportunities for research to just answer these questions. So very cool. Is this bird strike problem, is this a year-round issue or is it only at certain times of the year?
So window strikes do happen year-round, but they're definitely the most common during fall and spring migration periods. And this is due to the fact that most struck birds are migrants and not resident birds. So, and a lot of them will hit windows while they're on their migration route. And then another thing we've noticed from like past data and then like just like surveying now is we get more birds in the fall, like hitting buildings. And I'm not, personally, I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know if anybody else knows, Ren or Leilani, or maybe Dr. Rendorn, you can elaborate a little bit on that. You know about that being an expert in bird migration yourself.
What I've noticed, I don't claim to have any knowledge like Dr. Rendorn does, but I think honestly, that's just a result of the way we have our surveys structured. So unfortunately, spring migration does really coincide with final season. We can't get as many people out and about and running our routes during like mid-May. And most people are actually leaving campus during mid-May. We can really only run routes from about mid-March to about mid-May. This season, we're ending officially May 5th, but we're having some people run routes like up until like May 15th-ish. But in the fall season, we are like right in the midst of migration season, like peak migration season. We can have as many people running as we want. So it's a bit easier to like get the birds that we're expecting in the fall, which I think is partially the reason.
I think the sampling design is certainly an important factor there. One other thing to consider is that in the fall, the birds migrating and just existing in the world are augmented in number because of all the young that they've had over the summer. Whereas in the spring, mortality has occurred in the preceding months. And so there's just generally more birds around in the fall. And so that may be part of the reason as well.
Oh, the messiness of nature and us and our attempts at understanding it, right? Sometimes it's design, sometimes it's just the way they are. And there's some other kind of explanation. Very cool. We think about that a lot when it comes to citizen science projects. There was a coyote research project in which it was showing, oh, we're finding all these coyotes and human places. And what they were, the researchers were considering was like, well, humans are gathering the data. So, you know, if it's everyday people gathering data, they're going to report coyotes where they are physically versus, you know, no one's going out into the open woodland or the, you know, the natural areas to sit. And those just aren't being reported as often. It's not necessarily that there aren't coyotes there. So yeah, design is really something to consider. And
it's tough to be a young bird sometimes. Those first year birds have really high mortality, unfortunately, just the way things are. But yeah, it's, as you said, the messiness of nature.
So when you're running your routes, what types of birds are you guys finding?
Yeah, so although some of the bird striking windows on campus are resident birds, actually a large majority of the bird striking are migratory species. So in 2023, we had almost 400 recorded bird window collisions encompassing 60 different species. And it's also important to note that these recorded strikes only represent the number of birds striking within the span of a few months on campus when we run our surveys in the spring as well as the fall. So far, our most struck birds at surveyed buildings are the Tennessee warbler, Nashville warbler, white-throated sparrow, ovenbird, and Swainson's thrush, all migratory species. And this raises concern because many of these migratory birds are traveling thousands of miles on the path of the Mississippi Flyway only for their journey to come to a halt at the hands of man-made structures on campus.
As Leilani said, these are our species that are migrating long distances. I was in South America last fall and saw Tennessee warblers, saw Swainson's thrushes. And so they imagine them coming all this way just to meet their NGR on campus is a shame.
Yeah, I mean, man, that makes me sad to think about. And I also, and now I'm thinking about the giant buildings in Chicago that, you know, we have our own bird collision monitor system up in Chicago too, in which it's a group of volunteers that collect. And then also I've actually called them myself for my house before. But they, and like, it just makes me think like they're picking up the birds and documenting them. And this is just such important work to understand. And so what are some future plans for building mitigation with all of this information you're gathering? You know, you must have some ways in which you can apply that knowledge to prevent these kinds of strikes.
Yeah. So like, I feel like in the past and like right now, we've been focusing on like data collection and finding out which buildings specifically are causing the most strikes. But currently in like for future semesters, we definitely want to like use that data on the most like, you know, struck buildings to show to like campus leaders, building directors, people who have authority to make changes, and to show them that it really is a huge problem and something needs to be done to make windows more visible to birds. And some of the ways we've talked about, I think Ren mentioned a few of these before, include using window paint or decals. And then another thing we want to do is be sure that light pollution from buildings is not affecting birds during migration seasons. So some things we hope to do in the future to prevent this is engage with lights out campaigns and encourage people of authority to close blinds if buildings have late hours, because sometimes lights might need to be on because people are studying, but closing the blinds could definitely prevent that. And then one more thing that we want to do is push campus leaders to include bird-friendly windows in future building designs and buildings that are having renovations done. And there's actually something called the Bird Safe Buildings Act, and it was passed in 2022, and it requires newly built and renovated buildings in Illinois to follow bird-friendly window requirements. So technically, future building designs, they have to, you know, be bird-friendly, but we want to just make sure that that's actually happening and they're actually following that.
These are really cool ways. From Extension, we're always thinking about how can we see what's happening on campus and get that information out and use that as almost like a case study for other communities to apply as well. And what I love what you all are doing is, you know, you all are in, you're not in a position in which you own this landscape. You can't physically turn those lights off yourself. These are very public community-oriented spaces, but you're working on how can we work with, you know, these the organization at hand, like University of Illinois, their facilities and services and things like that, and make this a community that we want to reflect our values. And I think that's really cool. And this is something that other communities can apply to themselves to help make bird migration safer for more birds in the future. So I think that's, I'm really, really excited to see this, and I'm glad that we're featuring you today. So
Sarah, you talked about window paint and decals and things like that. What can the average person do to help prevent bird strikes at their house or even at their home or their work? And Sarah, if you want to elaborate on window paint, I'm just curious about that.
Yeah, I was also going to say too, I have a giant bay window in which I have had I had a Cooper's hawk hit my window once. I know y'all's faces are big because also we thought it broke the window and it was very sad. And so they took the bird away. Our bird collision monitors team took it too, and I never found out what happened to it. And then we had a kestrel hit my neighbor's window. And so I'm like, what can I do? Because I'm going to start spreading the word to people. What is window paint? Tell us more.
Yeah, window paint, I mean, it's just something you can buy and, you know, put designs on your windows, like dots, lines, stuff like that. Yeah.
Like around homecoming when they decorate windows and stuff.
Yeah. I'd say it's a more short-term solution to, you know, bird window collisions because it can wash off and stuff. But it's definitely like more accessible, I feel like, and less expensive than decals. So it's definitely something like the average person can do, I'd say, if they live in a place they own, like not an apartment, maybe like the house.
Yeah, I can elaborate more on that a little bit. There are like specific, like, you know, the ones people paint, specific window paint markers that people use. If you don't have access to that, you can also use just any like tempera or acrylic paint you might have lying around. Even though it might not be very long term and it might wash out, it's still something that you can do and it'll help. You can paint any design you want to. You can get creative with it, which is nice. I know I've seen people do either patterns with dots or lines or just making their own artwork. So, it can be like a fun activity to do, as long as it's important to note that when you're making these designs, the design and pattern is spaced out 2 inches by 2 inches by 2 inches apart. This is really important because the birds need to be able to perceive this spacing so that they know that there's actually a barrier in front of that window, and to hopefully prevent them from hitting that window.
Got it. So like not just painting it all green or something isn't going to do much. It's got to be some kind of pattern that they can distinguish that this is something else.
Yeah. There's also other things that people can definitely do to just to help prevent window strikes. I know just by turning their lights off. I know, Abigail, you mentioned you got an alert on your phone about like high bird migration passing through. Especially when you know it's peak migration and a lot of birds are passing through, that's when it's really important to make sure the lights in your home are turned off, especially rooms that are not in use, or even if you're working at an office, just to make sure the lights are off and communicating that with people. Even if you are unable to do all of these things, one of the biggest things that we really advocate for is spreading awareness. So to anyone that's listening, we would love anyone to just tell one or two friends about bird window collisions and the risk that buildings, that any building can have on the life of a bird. We really want to just spread more awareness and increase outreach about this issue, because it's something that is really overlooked by many.
To make sure that everyone understands how big of an issue this is in the U.S., it's estimated that 800 million to 1 billion birds hit and die of window strikes each year. And this is the second leading cause of bird deaths in the United States behind cats being outside. So one, keep your cats inside, please. And two, just like take any steps that you can to prevent these bird deaths, because bird populations are already on the decline. We don't need to be losing birds to like any other factors than climate change, because that's already a big problem.
Yeah, and a couple of things. One, if you want to learn more about like nighttime, like how to support wildlife at night and things like that, Amy recorded an episode, oh gosh, how long ago? A few months ago, if not longer. Nature at Night. So definitely check that one out too. And this is just kind of like, yeah, those lights at night, there's lots of ways that we can design our landscapes in which they don't need to be on. And so, you know, keeping them off if we don't need them on. So that way our wildlife can do what they need to do at night. They're outside. We don't need to bother them. Let's leave them alone. So that's so great. And honestly, yeah, our birds are a really important and integral part of our ecosystems. And we really need to make sure we're supporting them from all aspects of their life, right? And so supporting healthy habitat, supporting healthy migration, things like that, very, very important. So, well, thank you so much, Bird Strike team, Bird Strike Survey, I suppose, for chatting with us about this really important topic. And I'm excited to have us get this knowledge out during migration season. So, well, this has been another episode of Spotlight on Natural Resources podcast, a little research bite edition. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you around.
University of Illinois Extension.